It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. In the 2013 fiscal year, the Department of Labor and Industries found about 550 employers had misclassified workers, leading to an assessment of $12.7 million in unpaid workers' compensation premiums. In the past few years, state regulators have ramped up efforts to combat misclassification and fraud. Liz Smith is an assistant director of the Fraud Prevention and Labor Standards Unit at the Department of Labor and Industries. She told me there are two types of wage fraud that they look for.
First is in workers' compensation audits. We look for cases where employers are not paying the correct workers' comp premiums, and specifically where they are misclassifying employees as independent contractors. When an employer misclassifies their employees as an independent contractor, when they're in fact an employee, they don't pay workers' comp, they don't pay unemployment insurance, sometimes they don't pay necessarily the correct wages. The other area where we uncover wage fraud is in our employment standards program, where workers can file a wage complaint to assert that they didn't get the correct wages, and we will investigate to find out if the worker is owed wages and collect them. Last year, we had about 3,800 wage complaints filed, and from that, we collected about $3 million in wages for workers.
Now, in the 2013 audit, I understand that you at Department of Labor and Industries found about 1 in 8 of 4,000 employers had misclassified workers. Now, is that necessarily a case of wage fraud?
In 557 of those audits, there was worker misclassification. And so that was about 14% of the total audits that we performed. But for the amount of assessments that we got from those, it was $12.7 million in audit assessments. And that comprised approximately 44% of the total employer assessments for the year. So it was a pretty significant number for misclassification. And is it wage fraud? Often misclassification in the workers' comp realm, that often translates into cases where there's also potential wage issues. But it can definitely be classified as payroll fraud. If we have employers that are repeated violators, because we believe that most employers want to do the right thing. They want to follow the law. There are a few employers that are egregious, that are repeat violators, that know the law and are choosing to disregard it. And for those, we really want to have different mechanisms where we can be effective in our strategies so we can actually be a deterrent.
You were mentioning that what particularly catches your eye is when this is repeated over time by the same employer. That might indicate that there's not just an innocent paperwork mistake, but actually they might be intentionally doing the paperwork wrong.
Laws in Washington State are complex, and they're often hard for a small business or any business to navigate. And so when we audit, we often find that employers don't necessarily understand the rules. When we audit, we often find employers are even overpaying because they don't understand the rules. So if an employer is not paying the correct workers' comp, when we find it the first time in our first audit, we will often do an extra bit of education to make sure that they understand the laws. We don't necessarily have as high of a penalty on those audits. But if we come back and we audit the employer a second time or a third time, and we find that they're making the same mistakes or having misclassification issues or those same violations again, then we have escalating penalties, and our penalties can get pretty steep. The law allows us in a workers' compensation audit to issue up to 10 times the premium amount if it is a willful violation.
In your experience, does that get their attention? Do the mistakes or misclassifications end after that?
It very much gets the attention of the employer that we're working with. And if they don't want to work with us or don't make the payment, then we can pursue collection means and filing legal warrants and looking for bank accounts and putting liens on properties and a number of other legal collection means.
How does it affect a worker if their employer has not paid their worker compensation? Say they get injured. What happens to them?
If an employer hasn't paid their premiums and a worker files an injury complaint, it doesn't affect the worker at all. We do go back and we work with the employer to get the premiums that they should have paid or that they owe if they weren't paying correctly.
I'm talking to Liz Smith. She's Assistant Director of Fraud Prevention and Labor Standards at the Department of Labor and Industries. We noticed that although there are hundreds of companies that are at least filing bad paperwork, if not deliberately trying to avoid the law, you only have referred six cases for prosecution between July 2013 and this past June. Why so few?
That's correct. And that's six employer cases for premium violations. The year prior to that, we did three cases. So we have been looking at and working towards increasing our referrals to prosecution for appropriate cases where they are repeat violators or where there is an egregious violation of the law. We do criminal prosecutions very selectively. We want it to be the right set of facts. We want it to be the right move for both the justice purposes and for the specific facts of the case. It is a time-consuming and resource-intensive effort to put together a criminal case. We want to make sure that we're doing that for the right cases.
You have increased prosecution, you mentioned. Is that leading to you getting more money from these employers and more penalties paid?
It doesn't always necessarily correlate with more dollars, because sometimes when we do a prosecution, it's against an employer or a corporate entity that has had other issues and legal problems, and so they may have lawsuits against them, or if it's a construction company, they may have consumers or other suppliers that have filed against their bond and have taken that money. So even if we issue an assessment, sometimes we can't recoup that money either for workers or for the department because other people that are owed money have gotten there first, or because the employer has potentially taken all the money out of the bank accounts. Mm-hmm. And if there's no money to get, then there's no money to get. Sometimes, though, that's where we look at the justice factor of what were the violations, do they amount to the criminal level that is allowed in the statutes. And we also look at it as, is it a case that we could potentially use for communicating to the public about the potential consequences of violating the laws, so it could be beneficial as the sentinel effect to help employers and others know that we're serious about the laws, we enforce the laws, and that there are serious consequences for those that violate the laws.
So there's some publicity value.
Absolutely.
Now, I understand there's been an innovation in the last year where instead of just looking at your database, there's a new system that allows fraud officers to cross-reference data from not just your agency, but other agencies. How well is that working?
It's working great. So it's been a multi-year project. Believe it or not, it's not always the case that state agencies or even programs within state agencies talk to each other or share data with each other. It ends up in violations being able to practically hide in plain sight. So the system that we built, it combines 13 state agency databases, including LNI, construction compliance, State Department of Revenue, Employment Security Department, and multiple programs within the agency, so that if we have an employer that is violating, we can look and we can see, do they have a workers' comp account and they're reporting workers? And if so, do they have an ESD account and are they reporting workers to ESD? We can see discrepancies. One of the most common ones is where a employer will tell us that a worker is an independent contractor, and that they have their own business. And we can go into the unemployment insurance, we can go into our database and look them up and see that they have been reported as an employee for other employers.
So the employer is reporting to one state department that the employee is a contractor and to another state department that they're an employee?
Right, correct. Or another scenario would be that an employer says that, oh, this worker is an independent contractor. And we can very easily and quickly look up, well, does that person who's supposed to be an independent contractor, do they have a business license? Are they reporting taxes? Are they in the system anywhere else? So we can very quickly verify a story to see if it all lines up or if there's something that is fishy about it that we might need to follow up on.
That's Liz Smith, Assistant Director of Fraud Prevention and Labor Standards at the Washington State Department of Labor and Industry. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.